Welcome to today. I was misled as a child when somebody told me once that beauty was in the eye of the beholder. And I came to the belief that beauty was a subjective thing, like if you didn't see it, then it really wasn't there. Beauty's only what a person can see. I remember going to the Grand Canyon and a person leaning over the edge with me before I did the rim to rim was looking in with his family. He was there for about 10 minutes and then got in his car and left, but he said real quickly, "Just a big ugly ditch." That's what he said. And I thought, no, he's wrong. He's really wrong. And it's not my beauty to see. It was just raw, objective beauty. And the truth is, I think, is that he was blind to what was in front of him. The purpose of a night like this is to hear Scripture and to listen to the deep voice of God calling to your deep so that you might see beauty in others, in nature, in situations. But there might be beauty that we've missed, just plain missed, and it's been all around us. So quiet your hearts and let the deep of God's Spirit speak to your deep and remind you that we live in a God-drenched, beautiful, beautiful world.
Let us sing to the Lord. Jesus, draw me close.
Be at peace in the silence as you listen for the Holy One in the reading from Psalm 40, 1 through 5, the King James Version. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is he that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in under unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Allow God to direct you to a word or praise from the second reading of the text, Psalms 41 through 5, from the New International Version. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He let my feet be on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. During the silence after the third reading, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer, intention, or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler, as you are able, to be anointed for healing or for yourself or another. The third reading is from the Revised Standard. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who get astray after false gods. Thou hast multiplied, O Lord my God, my wondrous deeds and thy thoughts toward us. None can compare with thee. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be numbered. Final reading, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5 from the Message Bible. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out from the ditch, pulled me up from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourself over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God's wonders and God's thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you, God. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you, for stories. And it's the details in the Bible that make it real for me. The details about Jesus was asleep in the boat. The details that Lazarus stank or whatever. Those kind of details. This chapter in the Psalms is about David. It's details about David. Little things about David. Little things that probably meant more in his time than they do to us today. But we can still relate to things like standing on a rock. We know what that means. All of the people in David's times were walkers. Many of us here are walkers, but we don't depend on walking to get around. To David, he talks about the mire and the mud, and he talks about standing on a rock. so that he was safe and secure. I like to walk. I've done a fair amount of walking, and I have seen mud up to my knee. The kind that pulls the boots off, you know, when you think, oh, why did I do this? I also remember a time when David talks about a solid rock. I remember a time when I was walking, and it was a little piece of the Iditarod Trail. We came around a bend, and there was a ridge. And the ridge was shale on both sides. And I looked at that, and I thought, if I just slip a little bit, I'm just going. And I thought, this is not a good idea either. And the only thing that got me through it was the fact that this is the Iditarod Trail. Thousands of people have done this, and I'm also with six other guys who are going to laugh at me if I lay down or kind of crawl around. So I went ahead, and I made it. It was okay. Solid rock, that's what we look for. I also did a little bit of walking on sand, and that didn't work out very well either for me. In that particular instance, I was up in Michigan. There's a place there called Silver Lake. And at Silver Lake, what they have is sand dunes. I know, Silver Lake, you wouldn't expect it, but that's what it is. It's sand dunes between the lake and Lake Michigan. It's about a mile. And Nancy and I used to go up there a lot. And one bright, cheerful morning, I decided, I'm just going to walk the mile over to Lake Michigan, and then I can come back. That's not a hard thing. A friend of mine had been talking about getting closer to nature when you're hiking. No matter what you do, there's always somebody who wants to make it better. He wanted to hike barefoot. I could not comprehend barefoot hiking, but I thought, I'm going to try this. I am going to go the mile across the sand dunes. It was okay going over. If you've ever been to the beach, you know what happens in the afternoon when the sun comes out. I couldn't walk on them. I didn't have my shoes. I left them in the car. I could not walk on the sand. Lucky enough, I had a bandana with me and a handkerchief. So anybody who saw this old man wading across the sand, one foot with a red bandana, the other foot with a white handkerchief wrapped around it to protect it. And I frequently look at these kinds of things and I say, what did I learn? Well, what I learned from that is I carry two bandanas now whenever I go someplace on a hike. But the details of what David talked, the symbolism of standing on a rock, I think it still relates to us today, and we still can look at this particular section and say, God has put us on a solid place. And then as I finished, you know, preparing for this, I thought, you know, the first verse of this is really the whole point of the whole thing, not the walking and the whole thing. The first verse is, I waited on God. And I particularly like the Message version, the last one, which says, I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And I think David is one of the heroes, the really big, important people in the Bible. And he had to wait on God. So I might as well adjust my time frame and my life to the fact that I am going to have to wait on God, whether it's when I'm out walking on the sand or whether it's in the mud, that I have to be, as Nancy tries to tell me, patient, waiting on God. So I got those two things, and then I came up with, I wonder how many times God has waited on me. I have waited on God, but I am sure he has looked at Ted and he has said, I know he's going to get this because God knows all. He's going to get this eventually, but it sure seems like it's going to take him a long time.
Our Lord invites to the table all who would turn away from themselves and turn to God, and who would earnestly repent and be honest and seek to live in love with God and with one another. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, what a thing you've done for us to come to us in our condition of brokenness and lostness and misunderstanding and selfishness, and offer yourself as a sacrifice for us. We've come this night to wait upon you, to have you lift us from a situation, and to put us on new footing with you and with one another. We welcome you into this communion as we pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he looked into the eyes of disciples who were stuck in the mud of their own selfishness, the mud of their own broken relationships, the mud of believing that they had to live up to a standard to please God. He took bread. He tore it apart. He said, This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, remembrance of me. And somehow something shifted within the hearts of people of faith over generations who have eaten of this meal, and they found themselves unstuck and high upon a rock. Likewise, after supper, Jesus gave thanks and lifted a cup and said, This is the cup now, no longer of wallowing in the mud of our own mess. This is the cup of the forgiveness or remission of sin. Christ comes for all who are stuck, thinking we have to work our way out of this, and offers us Himself, the gift of Himself. This table is welcome to all who would come. All are welcome at Christ's table. A piece of bread will be torn off, and grace is never grabbed at, just simply received as a gift, a great gift to you. Receive the gift, hearing the words, The body of Christ broken for you. As you hear the words, the blood of Christ, you'll dip a piece of the bread into the cup and take it to yourself and feel the mud come off and the forgiveness of Christ become real. Pray with me. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these simple elements of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of and blood of Christ, so that we might be freed and healed. Help us then to be the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in His final victory. And we feast at His table in earnest. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled. died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the
everything to
in prayer. Jesus loves me. Alleluia. Jesus loves me. Alleluia. Jesus loves me. Alleluia. Jesus loves me. Alleluia. How I love you, blessed Savior. How I love you, blessed Savior. How I love you, blessed Savior. How I love you, blessed Savior.
You are loved more than you dare to even hope to be loved. A rescue has come for you. A rescue is here for you. A rescue is still yet to come for you. Go in hope. Thank you.